Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk. It's like going to a Ford garage.
Oh.
But we've got the best escorts. Oh, my God.
If we... Oh my God, if we weren't going to die from coronavirus, I would have half-halved. I won't do it. Oh. My name's Bibi Lynch.
And if I haven't died from coronavirus yet, my name's Miranda Kay.
Who are we talking to?
We are talking to a lady of many talents.
Yeah.
It's amazing we haven't had her on the show before.
And why haven't we?
I think because she's just been very busy, yeah. And you'll understand why in a minute. But we've got the lovely Charlotte Rose on.
I can't believe this.
Oh, I know.
Believe it.
My name's Charlotte Rose. I'm a multi-award-winning sex worker, author, presenter, mother, and serial wanker.
Welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex. You are an awful influence already.
I haven't even been here for
well
minutes.
Well done. I know, mate. I know. Charlotte, Rose, how beautiful to meet you.
Lovely to meet you, all of you too.
Thank you. Well, you two know each other.
Oh, we do.
Yes.
We're just trying to work out where. It was an amazing night.
Yeah,
well, let's set the scene. There was diamonds in the sky.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It might be one of those that involves lots of wine, which is why we can't remember.
Absolutely.
Did you steal anything that night, Miranda? Or do you not remember?
Well, Charlotte Rose stole my heart.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Where's she gone?
Yeah, she's gone.
She's left.
She's gone with the heart. So why the hell are you here?
You invited me.
We can't not. We've been doing Good Sex, Bad Sex for over a year and we haven't had the Charlotte Rose on.
Why? This is ridiculous. Why did you not reply to us?
You have not sent me any messages.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Otherwise, I would have been here ages ago.
Oh.
You know, I had to fight through all the hordes of people.
Yeah.
Do you know, I had an empty carriage. It was amazing.
It's
I actually
so
put my
weird.
Feet up and I was like, yeah, yeah.
It's so weird.
Feet up, stretched out. Because I've got very long legs, you see.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10", but my inside leg is 35 inches. So, I have to get a very, very long set of trousers. I've got a short body, long leg. Brilliant for wrestling. Rubbish for sitting on a coach.
Oh,
it really is.
How tall are you?
Me?
Yeah.
5'8". How tall are you?
Nearly 5'2".
Oh. Good. Now that we've got that,
moving on.
Podcast bants. Oh, yeah, look at that. We've got two ex-sex workers and a broadcast journalist. What are they talking about? They're fucking hype. This is a radio award-winning gold. Good. I can see the fucking BAFTA right now.
There's an app you're involved with.
Yeah. I am, yes.
What is it and why?
It's Smoochie.
Smoochie.
Do you know, I hadn't even thought about that, but when I think of what the sound it would be, yeah.
Like when you get notifications, it's like,
What notifications are you getting? My notifications, they go, doo-doon. I'm like, brilliant. I want one that goes, I'm like, hey.
Okay, and what is Smoochie?
Smoochie is like, I know that they want, that a lot of the media have kind of proclaimed this Uber app for escorts. I know that that's what they've titled it, but it kind of is and it kind of isn't. The fact that it gives a sex worker an opportunity to have a location stored. So if something goes wrong, because unfortunately we're not in the best industry because of the way that the law is what creates a lot of problems for sex workers keeping safe, that we have to outsource that protection, as it were, to somebody else. And that's what Smoochie does.
How?
So what it does, I'll give you a scenario of what I would do. So, because everybody's different, but the way that I use it is that we all have two, well, sex workers mainly have two phones, maybe even three.
Yeah.
Who knows?
With a little sticker on the back to remind you.
Yeah, one goes, when you get a notification, one goes, doo-doo, the other one goes,
yeah.
What do you put on your sticker? Like the name.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I had like my normal one and then I used to have like my escorting one and then I had my dominatrix one.
So you're out in Tesco's bloody hell, which phone's ringing? Yeah. Dom one, hello. Yeah, what the fuck do you want?
Yeah. He's like, hey, hello, Oh no, sorry, Dad. Hi. Yeah, sorry.
You filthy maggot.
I have never used a drink more during a podcast. So you've got your 28 phones.
Yeah. So we've got 28 phones. And so when we go to a booking, I would always leave my personal phone in the car. And I'd always take my burner type phone in with me. And that's way I can always test, I can phone up my buddy or an agency or whoever I'm working with or whoever I've got to give me that added bit of protection. Where what I like is that the app itself has a GPS signal in it. So that if something were to happen whilst I'm there, my phone is stored within my vehicle and I have a last location, which is incredibly important. Now, I know that you get the element of people that would say, well, okay, well, that means you're traceable. But you've got to look at it in the sense of when somebody makes a booking for somebody to come and see you, you offer a postcode or a position of a street to where you would be able to have that visual point to see them, to state that they've arrived. And then you can say, oh, are you parked in a blue Mercedes, or are you on the corner? Are you wearing a hat? So you can visually see them. So it's pretty much the same thing, but controlled in a safe and secure environment. And the other great thing about Smoochie is you've got the opportunity to have credibility for the vetting process of the client. So the client's details are in there. So not only is it stored for safety in that sense, but it's also, you know exactly who it is.
Yeah. So the clients use it to book appointments.
Yeah.
And for you, for escorts, it's a safety
this feature.
It's a safety.
Yeah.
They know the client has to be verified.
Exactly. With the details in it that's held by the system.
How awful that you need an app for safety. Shouldn't legislation be doing that?
Do you know, I'll tell you some really, really foul things, is that the law that was created by non-sex workers who think that it's this miscued approach to safe protection against violence towards women, not including that there are male sex workers as well. But it's the fact that if you want to know what sex workers want, you need to speak to bloody sex workers. Mm. And so because of this, their ideology of what the law is what's needed in the law actually puts us in further danger. So when I was living in Devon and I had a property that I lived in with me and the children, and I had somewhere that I worked in. Now, when I moved to London, I couldn't afford two properties. So for me to be able to get in and about and around the area to get to know a client list, I went out with a friend for duos for safety. Now, you've got the two problems with this. Number one, that's breaking the law. The minute two sex workers work together in the same premise is deemed as a brothel. So if anything happens to us, then we are the ones that get penalised. And the worst thing with that is a lot of clients know this. Oh, so they can use that against you. Oh, yeah. So we were robbed. My playmate and I, we were robbed. And the worst thing is that there's two elements to this story, is the fact that we gave them the money back. You know, they were spitting on the floor, ripping up all my diary, trying to rip the TV off the wall. And they were quite aggressive. So it's a point of, you know, I don't want to risk any violence towards me or the fear of being outed to the manager. Because despite all of that actually happening, I would be the one that would be penalized and arrested for brothel keeping, both my friend and I. So we risk the point of being raped, beaten, you know, all of these things because of this stupid law that silly, and I will say silly, women has put in place in the ideology of protection towards women, which it does the exact opposite.
So you've talked to me about this before. Mm. Why is that? Why is it still happening?
Because people aren't listening. Yeah, people aren't listening. Sex workers. People would much rather, and no one wants to stick their head above the parapet and be the member of parliament or, you know, the group within parliament to say, yes, it would be more sensible to decriminalise sex work so that sex workers can work together for safety, and so that all the police commissioners know what the law is and do the New Zealand model, which is. So, and no one's got the balls to do that in government.
Well, I stood for MP twice in the hope as an independent. You know, it was a wonderful day. Stood up next to Douglas Carswell from UKIP and Mark Reckless from UKIP, because I did two by-elections. Very, very funny. And when he won, I thought, you know, because Lembit Opik, cheeky girl Lembit, he said, when he wins, because we knew he was going to win, when he wins, go and shake his hand, pull him in and give him a kiss on the cheek. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to do that. Oh. And I gave him a kiss on the cheek, and there's a photo somewhere where he goes with his eyebrows raised to the roof. And and I think he looked straight over at his wife to say, it wasn't me. I didn't do it.
So, I mean, so what can you do?
Well, it's everything, like, so Charlotte Rose, you've done protests outside Parliament. Yeah. Please, can you tell us about the famous face-sitting protest?
Oh, hang on,
what a wonderful day.
Jesus, I'm just going to drink some hand jerk. Carry on.
Yeah, and put a mat down.
This is
I need a new mat over my soaked mat.
A face-sitting protest.
Yeah, because it's not just sex workers, like, face-to-face, not face-to-face, you know, personal sex workers that are stigmatised and stereotypes. The law also affects porn workers as well.
Everybody.
And it affects, yeah, and it will affect these. So the laws that were affecting porn workers would have been affecting normal people who wanted to watch porn. And anyway,
hang
I'll leave
on
it to
a minute.
Charlotte.
Remove that word, normal.
No, I didn't mean it. That's why I was just like, no, fuck this. I'm waffling. I'm going to leave it to Charlotte.
So basically, on the 12th of December, 2014, was it? Unelected officials went into Parliament and made an amendment to an existing law to state that R18 material was now extreme pornography, which included 13 activities that they banned in the sale or production of UK porn. So you had spanking, strangulation, fisting, penetration with dangerous objects. You know, everything can become dangerous objects if you've got an arsehole using it. I'm trying to think. Trying to think of them all. Squirting, face sitting, strangulation, breath play, penetration by dangerous objects. It's not suffocation. It's a controlled way to reduce the airflow.
But if you're, it would mean in like a porno sex. So if I wanted to, if a bloke wanted me to smother him with my breasts.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's still sex. Yeah. It's still fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's in a controlled environment. Yeah. I mean, you get people like the unfortunate Michael Hutchins, who did it on his own, the fixation with his belt. And it, of course, it goes wrong. It needs to be in a controlled environment. Mm. And so all of the, you know, an array of these things, if people want to find out more about that, they can go to 13 Steps to Suppression, because I did a big art gallery about it. And I thought, I want to get people face-sitting each other outside Parliament, singing, sit on my face and tell me that you love me. Sit on my face and tell me I love you. And we did. And my speech is probably one of the greatest speeches that I did, because it came to the end when I said, and you can try and ban our liberties, but you can never take our sexual freedom. A little bit of William Wallace, you know, from Braveheart. And everyone's going, yeah. I'm like, right, let's get on each other's faces. We've got adjudicators to make sure you've got airflow and pink cheeks, so we're all good to go. Let's get on it. And all the coppers are like, well, we can't be stood seen here, you know. We best move on. And then, because the police had to be there, but they literally were. Like looking, can't look there. Can't look there. There's media there. They're going to snap me looking there. Can't look, you know. And it was such a fun day.
Yeah.
It was a great day.
Yeah. So funny.
And but when you look at the pictures, it looks like there's thousands of people, but there was actually there was more journalists there than there were folks, which I don't mind, because I did 54 global interviews that day to raise awareness. And the power that that had is something so phenomenal, because you've got to remember that there is so much online support for these sort of issues, but people can't put their face to it, because these are personal and intimate kinks, fetishes, all of these things that, unfortunately, you know, it's a faceless world, but people need that acknowledgement. They need that awareness of what's happening.
But it's like we've said before, it's weird. So when you're saying about silly women, is this like that weird feminism?
The radical feminists that
will go into a club and film what's going on.
Exactly.
Feminazis.
Yeah. The pearl clutching. Oh, we must save. It's these women who want to save us.
Yes. Let's lead by example and film people under non-consensual filming.
Yeah.
Can you not remember? So we've already gone through this. We went through this with Mary versus Mary. So it's Mary Millington was just before Cynthia Payne. And God bless her soul, both of them. And what I love about Mary Millington is that she actually went out with the guy who produced the English version of version of Playboy called White House, because Mary versus Mary was Mary Millington versus Mary White House. So what better way to go, fuck you, I'm going to create a porn mag with your name. Oh. Yeah. So, you know, that was probably the starting point that I can recall in when liberalization of a young woman fighting these crowds of women, you know, the moralistic views of, oh no, you can't do that type of thing. You know, I don't, everybody can have their own opinion. I've got no problem. I don't want to change anybody's opinion on my work, but put your moral opinion to one side and let me be safe. Simple. Yeah.
And that's it, is what it always comes down to, is the morality war.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's always
with
that.
Officials, with police, with doctors. You know, sex workers are misdiagnosed all the time because they can't be honest about what they do for a living.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
But you know what's even kind of, you know, the Mary Whitehouse, that's such a kind of cliche kind of type of woman. You kind of think, yeah, in a way, you kind of make sense.
And it was, wasn't
but,
it?
But yeah, but the... But I know a lot of the women that were going in filming, then didn't they take the footage to the Women's Equality Party?
Yes.
And that kind of irks me more. That makes me feel more uncomfortable because that's like, these are women that are going to be playing the
feminist card. But the Women's Equality Party, they want the Nordic model of sex work as well, which is where you ban the buying of sex.
Yeah, the purchase, the criminalisation. Yeah.
Have any of them asked sex worker for...
No. And do you know what? Right, let's strip it right back. Let's strip it right back because my English is not particularly great and I love it when people correct me. So if I say a word in the wrong pronunciation, please do let me know because I'll tell you a funny story on how long I've probably been saying that word and looking like a right twat. But... feminism. Okay, what it means to be a feminist. Now, my understanding, and for anybody who's listening, so a feminist is a woman who argues the right of another woman to choose. So when you're a feminist and you're dictating your views on what another woman should do, surely that's not being a feminist. Mm. Is that right? Yeah, or am I a bit skewed?
No, I totally agree with you. Right. People use it as a calling card. People, yeah. I said, I mean, I know you follow my work closely.
I do. Yeah,
I know you do.
I love the piece you did yesterday.
Oh, thanks, mate.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
It's good.
And shut your face. I did a panel the other night, and we were talking about feminism, and I was just saying, of course, we're all feminists in the pure sense of how you've just described it.
Yeah. That so upset me.
In the pure sense, as you describe it, what annoys me is if you need to put feminism in your Twitter bio.
Yeah,
that's like me saying I don't like kicking puppies in the face.
Yeah,
of course I
don't. Do you know why not? There's I great don't. For, no, it's not.
But do you know what I mean? You don't need to. If you're saying that, you've got the wrong take on it.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it's like me saying, I'm not a racist. Of course I'm not. You know, why would I put that in my bio?
Yeah, you are a bit.
No, I'm a little bit racist. But, you know, but do you know what I mean? I think it's such a stupid thing.
Yeah.
I don't think... I think it's used as... a stick to beat people with, weirdly.
Yeah. Do you know, I absolutely agree. And do you know when somebody goes, oh yeah, I'm a feminist? Oh, well, I appreciate the terminology of what feminism stands for, but when it gets dictated to in the wrong manner, then I don't support it in that sense. I understand the core principles of what it was built on, but for me, I'm a humanist. You know, and people will argue, who is listening, going, yes, but you have to be a feminist because of such and such. And I do, and I agree to that. But when it's used to harm people around me, that all they're doing is going to work the same as what everyone else is doing, just because your moral judgment doesn't applaud what we do, and that gives you that automatically thinks you
or isn't flexible.
And that dictates to why you are that way with us. It's just incredibly wrong.
But I would say that's not feminism.
No,
I'd say that's morality.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want people to think, oh, they're having a go at feminism. I'm not. Like, I love feminism, but to my mind, feminism is equality and is listening to women and making sure that all women are safe.
But
that's what would happen.
Is, but a lot
and that's
people,
what Smoochie if, does.
Yeah.
Exactly. A lot of people who use that title.
Yeah, but that's having a go. Yeah. But that's those people using their morality, using the word feminism, just to excuse their own morality.
It's a bit of a get out of jail card.
Yeah,
type,
for some people, yeah.
Do you know when we talk about things like this, it always comes down to a point where you've got that perception of sex work that the only people in it are mentally ill or they've got addictions and things like this. And I was going to do a documentary with Louis Theroux.
Oh, God.
And this is why I'm very grateful that you've invited me here today to be able to to talk, is that when you've got something as prevalent as BBC One with a presenter like Louis Theroux discussing the safety element of sex work, and then he comes around your house and he interviews you and he interviews my late partner and my daughter, and then all of a sudden it's removed from that show because it does not fit the stereotype of what they want to show, is where that internal damage, that all this power that we strive to fight for equality and decriminalization towards sex work, and to try and get the social media, to try and get the society to remove that stigma and marginalization that the media has driven. Yeah. What fighting chance have we got when you've got people like Louis Theroux removing people that doesn't fit that mold of stereotypical sex work?
What did they say to you about it being cut?
Narrative.
How did they say it?
It doesn't fit.
Yeah,
yeah. It didn't fit the model working model and the flow of the production.
Yeah,
yeah. And but they were kind enough to send me a massive bouquet of flowers when my partner died. Which you know, I always like gifts. I don't care where they come from. Send me gifts. PO Box 24.
But it was the whole Louis Theroux thing was so redactive.
It was
because
just
he's done brilliant documentaries,
brilliant ones
that were about sex workers and were explaining like why trafficking is so misunderstood and how trafficking is actually something that helps sex workers in America, because all that is just people taking sex workers over borders and basically being their protection, but it gets covered under this umbrella of it's trafficking, but it's actually what we're trying to say, which is like it's just people working together out of safety.
And then he goes and does this. Isn't it? It's a consensual understanding. And I think that, you know, there's two people try to round everything up into non-consensual sex. So it's trafficking. And that's where it's really problematic. If people aren't knowledgeable enough to understand that you've got sex, you've got coercion, you've got trafficking, which are all illegal, and then you've got consensual sex, which is prostitution in that sense, it's where do people understand? Because the media portrays it very two-dimensional. It's either very glamorous or it's either very tragic.
Yeah.
There's no real in-between. And the reason why they don't like to show in-between is, yeah, I don't want to see Charlotte Rose having a nice dinner with a partner and then having a normal conversation with a 19-year-old daughter. How was uni? Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
You know, they want to go, yeah, I'm addicted to that crack. Yeah, please, I'll suck your cock if I do this. You know, it's just ridiculous.
That, your scenario, incredibly interesting.
Which is why people should download Slaving Away, available on Audible, which is exactly...
What's that?
It's weird. It's about the normal life of a sex worker.
Who's
where
it's that?
It's me, I think. That's so
I haven't
strange.
Even read that. Send me a copy. I'll read it out on one of my shows.
I will send you a.
Is there anything? Is there any erotic stuff in it?
It's just like the funny client. It's not erotic.
It's
but it's
a
just
sitcom.
Like the funny.
It's
number one on Audible.
Number one on Audible. Yeah. Miranda Kane to my right, starring in a bloody sitcom.
Yeah.
All right.
I haven't even seen
I'm
it.
Just trying.
What's going
to
on?
Get,
all
just,
I'm saying.
Hang
is,
on a minute. Let's stop having a shout over the table.
Right. Hang on a minute. You stop looking. Yeah. Is it actually any good? You don't have to say it because she's here.
I'm livid.
Yes. Okay. All right. Send me a link. I'll watch it.
Your show.
Yes.
We need you to come on several more times. Tell us about your radio show. Do you cover everything that we've been talking about and more, I guess?
Well, the Rose Talk Sex has been going for 5 years now. And what I do is I've got competitions because I want to get people involved. I want to get people talking. I put a little bit of music on. I always have an industry guest. I talk about the events that's happening in the industry. You know, at the moment, we've got a voice competition. You can win 250 quid, which will then go up to 300 quid. So it's getting more and more and more. You can win hoodies, but it's a sex positive show, and I always do news. So I got four pieces of news that's happening that's going on at the moment. So and then I do one for the sexes, and I'll be honest, the section for one for the sexes for about six weeks I should have retitled it to things that women should not put in their vagina, because you know, like wasp nests and tea and you know, all these random things. And I just think to myself, I know that it's a hole and it can fit things in, but that does not mean that you should put everything in there.
Yeah.
And you know, and then you've got, so I do random stories like the Gwyneth Paltrow made a candle that smells like vagina. It's like, come into my lovely house. Oh, look at that. Smells strange in here. Yes, it's my vagina candle. You know, so it's random bits of news like that. We talk about the female Viagra. I talk about sex therapists who think they're sex therapists when they're just academics. And, you know, it's that sort of thing. And, I've got an interaction online, so I'm visual and audio. So you can see me on Periscope TV, which can be quite comical, especially when I go off on one because my face is very, very visually vocal. So it's pscp.tv/RoseTalksSex. So if you just look for Rose Talks Sex, it's everywhere. It really is.
Lovely.
And the show, so that's on a Monday night. And then the Wednesday show, Rose to the Rescue. Yeah, I'm getting lots of complaints, but all in the good all in the good way. I can't. So my best complaints are, I can't watch your show anymore because I now have a girlfriend. I've got another guy that said, I was almost to the end and then the kids came in the bedroom. And, you know, it's all things like this because I tell erotic stories. So I slow my voice down and I talk about, so my story last night was a woman who has a fetish towards boxing gloves. Wow. And she steals the guy, the gym instructor's boxing gloves. And then she starts masturbating with them in the corner of the ring. And the next minute he comes in and she ends up, he's always fancied her, and he ends up fisting her. Well, not internally, but, you know, like fist bumping with boxing gloves on her furry mound. Bop, 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 bop. And she's like,
Just a little jab,
and away she goes.
Do you know, I'm from a family of pugilists. So to be honest, it was just too close to my dad.
Oh, okay.
Imagine if I've
Hang on a minute.
Dark.
What's too close to your dad? The story or the gloves?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Get her off my show. She's freaking me out. She's made me lose my track.
Just because she
twice.
Told you. Just because she knew what you got up to over the weekend.
And
I want to know. Boxing. What did you get up to?
No, I'm saying that she was the one doing the fist with the, in the boxing ring.
I did nothing.
It was you.
No. You wouldn't forget this.
As soon as you mentioned she was nicking something, I was like, oh, that's our freebie Lynch. There she goes.
Are you on, where can we find you on social media?
First Lady of Sex. Google me, Charlotte Rose, Charlotte Rose sex worker. Porn protest, face hitting protest, award winning bionic cock. you know, yeah.
Is she still talking?
Sex workers opera.
Next podcast. The bionic cock.
Yes. Yeah. So I took the virginity of the guy with the bionic cock, Mohammed Abad. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
And I was expecting a disco lights and a remote control, but I didn't get that. But it was still very impressive.
I don't know anything about this bionic cock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Tune in next week on Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
He had the bionic cock.
Yeah. So when he was about 6 years old, he had a boy pushed him underneath a moving vehicle, and his penis and left testicle was ripped off. So he had to wait till he was 34 years old to have a penis rebuilt. 8 inches.
Very respectable.
So when I first saw it, it was like, I actually went, so this was on, you can watch it on This Morning, and I'm explaining it and I go, oh, and Mo goes, oh, and I went, oh. And he went,
so, and did, yeah. And the sweet love was made. And satisfactorily?
Not the first time. The second time, yeah, we got there.
Aww.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but there is a button. You have to press a button. I was expecting a remote of some sort, but I didn't realise it's in his testicle. There is a button.
Can he feel it?
The button, yeah. So you press the button and then it makes a little vibrating sound, feeling, and then the water. So there's a saline pouch that's internal. So when you press the button, it releases the water, which goes into the penis and fills it all up, and then you press it again to lock it, and he's hard.
Can he feel
the water going through?
Someone making sweet love to him.
Does he get an orgasm?
Yes, he does orgasm, but it's weird. And you've got to remember that the skin that's used is the skin from his arm.
Yeah.
So the sensitivity around that area has been pulled up. So it's only the sexual sensitivity on that side is only at the base, but you can still feel the whole sensation of it all.
Oh my God, that's our podcast in itself.
Bionic cocks.
Do you think it's going to be like the next adult work? Can it please overtake that little...
Do you know, let's not go, that's a podcast in itself, isn't it? One of the bad things about adult work is that nobody actually leaves real feedback, because everybody has that fear of that I don't want my reputation tarnished with a bit of negative feedback. So a lot of sex workers don't even confirm the booking to allow people to leave feedback just for that. You don't have any of that.
Final line. This feedback thing makes me so. Remind us of your best feedback.
I was particularly impressed when she high-fived me at the end.
What's your best feedback you've ever had?
It smiled when I caught her looking her.
What's your best feedback you've had?
It made me laugh when I caught her looking in the mirror while she fucked my ass. Because I literally went like this.
Thank you so much
for joining us.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was I don't think I've ever seen anyone put you off your stride. That was like watching two ADHD kids just get off their tits on mini eggs and go at it. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Poor Juliet was like having to take her earphones off. We've broken the mics. I think we're all best friends now.
Someone's going for a drink.
Someone's going for a drink.
I loved her.
Yes. How can you not?
Amazing energy, super intelligent, brilliant stuff. Yeah. And you know, I find it, I, like I said, I love that there's smoochy.
Smoochy.
That this app's out there.
Oh, that we spent 30 seconds talking about.
But it does really bother me that it's needed.
Yeah.
You know, we talk short. We talk
a lot about sex worker rights.
We talk about sex worker rights.
And she does do so many different interesting things.
Yes. Face sitting.
Yeah. You going to give that a go?
You know my back. So I would... I could get down there. I'm not getting up.
Not getting up.
Unless there's an oiled up YTS boy who's willing to give a little old bird a beautiful little hand. And with that image in mind.
Oh, my God.
My name is BB Lynch.
I'm Miranda Crane. Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols for metro.co.uk.
Also, if you've got a sexy question or a query, if you're an expert, something sexy, or if you've just found Sam, please email us at info@sexpod.co.uk.
And we will see you losers next week. And I say that from love.
Yeah.
They are ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.